The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
They got the win. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Knicks fans. Knicks fans, I know you're feeling good right now. Season high, 140 points in a blowout last night. You got Nikita playing defense. Remember when he was drafted? That's what he was known for. Of course Thibodeau is going to like him. And I mean, Quickley's been a revelation all season. And the reason I said this was a must-win for this Knicks team is you're in the lesser conference in the East. The East has come up in the world. It's still the lesser conference. If you're in the Eastern Conference and you think you're a team on the rise and you're hosting a team with one of the worst, one of the lesser records in the league, worse than your record, certainly, you have to win that game at home. If the difference between being a game under 500 and three games under 500 because you can't beat Sacramento at home, that's a problem. That, believe it or not, I know it sounds funny, that was a must-win game for the Knicks. Well, in what way must-win? Well, if you want to take the team seriously at all, it's one of those, it sounds funny because who are the Sacramento Kings? It's a gut check, in a way, a gut check game. You have to beat the teams you're supposed to beat at home when you're two games under 500. I don't care what conference you're in. But particularly for a young Knicks team, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline, and we're going to get into the Nets in a second, too. Brooklyn's on fire right now. And it's so funny because nationally, the Knicks are not a story. But locally, the Knicks are still the story. You know, the Nets are the national story. Look, watch any sports show. They're talking Nets. How can you not? The Nets are going to wind up with the best offense in the history of basketball this season. Of course they're leading every show. Kevin Durant, James Harden, Kyrie Irving. But in New York City? Within New York City, still more Knicks fans. But I'm telling you this right now, and it's a good thing the Knicks are starting to turn it around. That can change. That can absolutely change. I was a kid in New York. I was, you know, I don't know, 7th, 8th grade, junior high school. The Yankees were New York, right? The Mets came up in the world. They drafted Dwight Gooden and Daryl Strawberry. And starting around 85, the city flipped. New York was a Mets town and not a Yankees town. In 85, 86, 87, 88, even 80, I'd say the whole second half of the 80s. It was a Mets town. They were simply more popular. They drew more fans. People cared more about them. They got more headlines. They had more postseason success, everything. Don't think that can't happen. The Lakers are very lucky that LeBron decided, not just luck, but they're very fortunate that LeBron signed there, and then they were able to work out a trade for AD. Because the Clippers are real right now. I mean, look, they lost to the Grizzlies last night, and that happens. A young, energetic team coming off a nice long rest, you know, it, especially towards the All-Star break where veterans sometimes take their foot off the gas. It happens. But don't look now. The Clippers are really good. They're better than they were last year. But the Lakers were able to keep L.A. Why? Because of the equity they built in that town. The Lakers haven't just won a couple championships. When I was a kid, the Lakers had six chips and the Knicks had two. And I remember thinking, oh, if the Knicks, you know, they could pass the Lakers and then pass the Celtics. Celtics had 13, Lakers had six, Knicks had two. Guess what? The Lakers have 17 now, tied with the Celtics. Knicks still sitting at two. The Lakers have built up so much equity with the fan base that even if the Clippers took over for a while, it wouldn't mean much. But in fact, the Lakers still run the town, and they're the defending champs. But the Knicks don't have that equity. They don't have that equity in New York. They haven't won your loyalty with championships. They haven't. So the Nets come up in the world. It's a problem for the Knicks. It's important for the Knicks right now to have won that game. I know. A bad Sacramento team with a bad record. Don't make too much of it, right? I'm telling you right now. That was an important win. That was not an unimportant win for the Knicks. Emmanuel Quickley with 25 points. That dude just needs to be in the starting rotation from now on. Julius Randle with 21 and 14 boards. And now they're in a position to be a 500 team if they can beat the Pacers tomorrow at home at MSG. Anyway, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. The Nets keep on rolling. That was for you, New York, talking Knicks. Now this is for everybody else. The Nets, they keep on rolling. They win over Orlando for the eighth straight win. I hope people understand. I hate this. The Nets have not scratched the surface yet. When everybody's back, when KD, Harden, and Kyrie and have had a chance to play together for a while, the Nets are going to have the greatest offense by so much in the history of their sport. I'm trying to think of another team in any sport, in any major American sport ever, that is going to have an offense that much better than any other team that ever existed. That's what the Nets are going to have this year. It's not like they're going to be the best ever by a little bit. The Nets are going to have the best offense in the history of American team sports by far. It's going to be scary. Can the Lakers overcome that? Are the Lakers going to, with AD back, when AD gets back, are the Lakers going to be able to overcome that? They're going to have to figure out where they're going to get 130 points a night. I don't care how good the defense is. Then the question is, the Nets' defense likely isn't enough to stop the Lakers' offense when they get going if AD comes back healthy. But boy, the Lakers are going to have to find a whole lot of points to beat this Nets team. Here is Jeff Van Gundy on, obviously, ESPN's NBA analyst. One of the best listens in basketball, Jeff Van Gundy. And by the way, Van Gundy in New York. I mean, I still remember him holding on to Alonzo Mourning's leg and then defending the Knicks in the press. But oh, there's a brawl, and he said, I know when one worker sticks up for another worker, like if it was a construction worker, he'd be called a hero. Like he backed his team physically on the court and in the press. A lot of love in New York for Jeff Van Gundy. Here's Coach on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin talking about James Harden. Listen.
I think that we need to revamp our awards in the NBA. I think there should be a best player award. Like, who's the best player? Forget all the MVP, because then it gets all misconstrued. Who do you think the best player is? Who's been the best player this year? And there's a number of guys having really good years. I'll tell you who's climbing the charts is James Harden again. Like, James Harden, I don't know how you guys felt about how he got his way to Brooklyn, but the way he's playing, he just reminds you of why they were so good for so long. You know, like, he is just a spectacular player. He scores, he passes, he's got great hands defensively, even though he's not a great defender, but he can steal the ball. He's got good anticipation. I mean, the guy has been on a mesmerizing roll right now.
I totally agree with Coach about everything he just said. I actually think, all things considered, this is clearly the best basketball James Harden's ever played. Because you have to consider that he's obviously fat and out of shape. Like, let's just call it what it is. The dude showed up in Brooklyn looking a hot mess. Like, he just rolled out of bed, fat and out of shape. A triple-double with 30 points. Rolled out of bed, played with KD, and the Nets couldn't lose. So it's a brand new situation, new teammates. Not that he's never played with KD before, but it's been a long time. Not in the best shape of his career. Playing a new role, like, it's similar to the role he played in Houston in the sense that there's D'Antoni, like Nash, and D'Antoni's there on the bench, so he knows what to do. But not being asked to carry the load in terms of scoring, asked to set up his teammates. And sometimes in Houston, it was dribble, 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 look for my own shot. And if I can't find it here, last second pass to a teammate. Not because Harden's a selfish player, but because he knew he had the best chance to score. But on this team, when he knows he has teammates who can really shoot and really put the ball on the floor and score themselves, he's been really unburdened of the many responsibilities he used to have that kind of made him look like a more selfish player than he actually is. And he's able to play really James Harden brand basketball, which he is showing is one of the best of all time. Like, for the first time, I believe James Harden's one of the best players of all time, watching him do this. He is a basketball genius. His vision, like, when you combine that level of vision with that level of skill, he's LeBron James-ish, smaller, with a better shot. He's been amazing. The MVP so far has been Embiid, but Harden's been amazing. A lot going on in New York basketball right now. L.A. basketball, too. I know the Clippers are coming off a loss, but Kawhi Leonard's running the offense now. I thought they needed Rondo. I thought they needed an offensive organizer. I don't think they do. I think Kawhi is that guy now. The point forward, you see it with Zion in New Orleans. You see it with Kawhi, because obviously LeBron can do it, you know. But that Luka can do it. That point forward position. Kawhi was like the only thing he really didn't do well was pass the ball. Then he became a competent passer. Like, he was a good enough passer for his position. And then maybe even an over-average passer for a forward. This dude has become an excellent passer, period. So, like, the Clippers have been looking good. Last night, notwithstanding, the Lakers, once AD comes back, are going to be just fine. Until the Jazz overtook them as the only team top five offense and defensive efficiency, that was the Lakers. And New York, I mean, the Nets are going to have the greatest offense of all time by far by the end of this season. And the Knicks are now only a game below 500, and quickly is getting more burned, dropping 25. A lot going on the coasts in basketball right now. And Jordan Schultz, ESPN NBA analyst, joins me on the Goodyear Hotline right now. What's going on, Jordan?
My man, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Always great to have you on the show. A lot to talk about with hoops, my man. What stands out most to you? What are you burning to talk about right now before I go down my list?
Well, we hit on a ton of good topics there, but I would say the Lakers, Max, because I do think without Anthony Davis and when LeBron leaves the floor, because they don't have that great depth, they really do struggle. And, you know, I agree with you that they'll be fine when AD comes back, but when you lose 5 of 6 and when you really start to dive deep into the numbers and you see how bad they are when LeBron does leave the floor, it's scary. So without Schroeder, without James and Davis, they have one of the worst lineups in the league all around. They have a 20% turnover percentage. They're scoring 7 points per possession less. And that's what's scary. So like I don't want to just say they'll be totally fine once Schroeder and AD come back, because when you're talking about an Achilles with a big man, that's a concern. And, you know, listen, LeBron's been great. He's an MVP candidate. We've talked about it a lot, Max. But it is a concern that you need him to play 42, 43 minutes every night.
No doubt. Especially at his age with the miles on his legs and the minutes he's played in the NBA. And the fact that, not that PER is the perfect stat, but it's a pretty good little thumbnail sketch of, like, what a guy is doing. Lowest since his rookie season. That's an efficiency, offensive efficiency stat. And you're right, the construction of the team. It's both top-heavy and playmaker-light. LeBron, the only guy other than LeBron on the team who can create for himself and others, who can go get his own shot and set up teammates, is Schroeder, who's also not there. So it compounds the problem. Meantime, the Clippers, Jordan, are talking to Jordan Schultz, ESPN NBA analyst and insider. The Clippers, I'll tell you what, Kawhi's overall game, you know who he reminds me of? It's a different position, but follow me. Hakeem Olajuwon. Olajuwon turned pro as a defensive monster who had offensive possibilities, obviously, as a pro. And the only thing he really didn't do better than everyone who ever lived, basically, at the position, was pass the ball. But he worked on that over time and became a passer. And by his prime, that's like maybe the best center you've ever seen. And Kawhi, same thing. He starts out as a defensive player. And then he gains this incredibly efficient offense. But the last part of his game he really needed was the passing and the court vision. But Jordan, he's got it. Like, he's really playing, like, quiet is kept. Kawhi's playing MVP-level ball this year, and he doesn't get much press for it.
Have you ever seen a superstar get less press than Kawhi Leonard?
Mm-mm.
I mean, at worst, Max, what is he, the third, fourth best player in the league?
Right.
And he's having an outstanding season. And so is Paul George. I don't want to take anything away from him, and we're going to have to see it in the playoffs. The only reason I would say maybe people are overlooking Kawhi is because of what happened against Denver in the playoffs, and obviously he didn't play great, and they blew the lead. But you're absolutely right. And I hadn't thought about the Hakeem perspective because of the size differential and position change, but the minutes that Kawhi plays, the effect he has on both sides of the ball, and then the playmaking, you know, I mean, when I think about the Clippers playmaking, I probably think Paul George first, but I think Kawhi should get that type of credit. His pick and roll game is outstanding. He's extremely unselfish for a superstar, Max. And I think he plays as hard and as deliberate as anybody in the league every night. And that's why the Clippers are in that conversation.
All right, we got to get to a bunch of topics. So I'm going to try and shorten it up because I want to get through it with you. I really like your perspective and your analysis. We're going to get to the Jazz. We're going to get to the Nets. We're going to get to the Knicks. Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, in my mind, Jordan, and I was debating this with Stephen A. today on First Take, and he thinks, well, let me see it in the playoffs. That's legitimate. But right now, they are an elite combo. I mean, LeBron and AD, fine. Let's call it KD and Harden, because you also got Kyrie, they're fine. Other than those combinations, Embiid is the MVP of the league at this moment, offense and defense, number one in the league. And on top of that, his team's got the best record in the conference, and they don't win without him. Ben Simmons not only has been super aggressive recently and scoring at an incredibly efficient rate, but his defense, he turns Damian Lillard into someone else. He turns Luka Doncic. When he's on those guys in the West, they can't do anything. So I don't know. Are they an elite? To me, it seems like they have now reached that status. Elite combo. Yeah. Better than Dame and McCollum. Better than Westbrook and Beal. Better than Donovan. Than Devin okay. Booker and Chris Paul. I think they're the third best athlete. Better than Jokic and Murray. Simmons mm-hmm. and Embiid. What do you say?
I think they are elite. The only question mark for that combination has been when you get into the playoffs, could Ben Simmons score? When you need a guy to get to the line, are you confident Ben Simmons? And that's really what he's been doing over the last 12 games, Max. Over 19 points a game, 8 rebounds, 8 assists, 64% true shooting. He's cut down his turnovers. He's getting to the line. Let's see. I'm looking at it right now. Last four games, 9, 13, 14, and 6. And he's shooting 79%. So, That's the Ben Simmons that we always want to see, that offensive side. I think what's gotten overlooked over the last few years is that Ben Simmons is one of the five best, at worst, defensive players in the league.
Yeah, he might be the best. You're right. He might be the best. He might be better. Like he's arguably the best. Yeah.
He might be the best. Yeah. When you talk around the league and you ask players, executives, you know, we talked about Kawhi, you know, PG as perimeter defenders. Ben Simmons gets always people say, you know, that guy is so versatile defensively. We can talk about his offensive versatility, but his defensive ability 1 through 5, Max, is unparalleled in this league. So, I think Philly's elite. I mean, when Embiid goes for 50-plus and you're playing at an MVP level as he has, and you have a head coach that's clearly gotten his message across in Doc Rivers, I like the team a lot. There's not much not to like.
All right, we got about a minute per topic here. Utah Jazz. The Jazz are reminding a lot of people, including me, of the Spurs. Moving the ball, passing up good shots for great ones. They have the key to me, actually. I mean, obviously, you look at the backcourt and Gobert and all that stuff. But they basically Ingles once upon a time, and his offensive versatility and solid defense have been replaced by Royce O'Neal and his defensive greatness and versatility and solid offense. And to me, O'Neal's kind of the unsung hero on the team, but
yeah,
they got
is.
And Jordan Clarkson shooting 9 threes a game and hitting 38% of them. They got a whole lot of. Are they real championship threats this year?
I think so. And you know what, Max? I'm glad you brought them up because I still feel like Utah doesn't get enough credit. I mean, they lead the NBA in threes attempted, 43 per game. They make 17. You talked about, you know, the fact that they have these unsung heroes, whether it's bringing back Favors or Royce O'Neal. But I think Mike Conley has been as good as he's ever been. His pick and roll is elite. They play 8-9 guys. Quinn Snyder is excellent. And, you know, you have a guy in Donovan Mitchell who really is elite. I mean, you know, we can make the argument if he's a top 10, top 15 player, but he's coming to his own more and more. And they've relied less on him because they have other playmakers, Bogdanovich, Conley. They have other guys. And because of their ability to catch and shoot threes, in a playoff series, Max, they can beat anybody.
Yeah,
so
Donovan Mitchell.
I love Utah. I think they're a really legit team.
Donovan Mitchell might be top 15 normally. He might be top 5 or 6 with the money on the line. That dude is clutch. Okay, now last two. Last two. Here we go. The New York Knicks, I thought it was kind of a must-win game last night. And I'll tell you why. It sounds funny, right? If you're 2 games below 500 and you're hosting a bottom feeder team, and you know, you got to win those kind of games if you want to really be a respected team. You can't dip, you know, instead of a game below 500, you're 3 games below 500, you lose to the Kings at home. Can't be. And I was impressed by the Knicks, and I was and quickly has been a revelation. Your thoughts on the Knicks win last night?
The Knicks have been one of the, let's say, like three best stories in the league. You know, I mean, I don't think anybody expected them to be competitive. I didn't. And, you know, obviously Julius Randle's gotten a lot of publicity, and rightfully so. You mentioned Quickley, who was, you know, not a super high pick and has been, you know, you can make a case he's probably going to be all rookie. He's in contention for rookie of the year. He's been excellent. And they play really hard. You mentioned, like, going up against softer teams. How do you respond? You have to be able to be a playoff team. You got to at least compete every night, and that's what they've done. So I don't know if they can win a series or not in the playoffs, but for the first time in two decades, Max, if you're a Knicks fan, you feel really good. You feel good about the young
talent.
You
can have some pride.
Yeah. You're not embarrassed. And you know, I got some people in the stands now, which is nice. They're actually defending at a decent clip. Listen, I watch them every night. I think they're a really fun watch. They're one of the five best league pass watches. How about that?
And excellent.
I think they're a legitimate, you know, four or five seed in the East.
Yeah, one of the five best league pass watches, the Knicks. Okay, quickly, I'm extending the segment a little bit. Here's my take on the Nets now, Jordan. Talking to Jordan Schultz, ESPN NBA analyst and insider here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. My take on the Nets is this. By the end of this season, they will be by far the greatest offensive team, by far, in the history of American team sports. They will put that much distance between themselves and everybody else who's ever played basketball. When I look at the Mavs or the Golden State Warriors from a couple years ago, dude, they're already doing it, and they're not even all playing together healthy yet. What's going to happen when they have some burn all together and get in a groove?
I asked somebody recently, who takes the last shot when Kevin Durant comes back? How do you solve that? And then they said, well, how do you solve the other side of it? You know, how do you solve guarding Harden, Kyrie, and Durant on the same floor? We've never seen that
with
type
Joe
of
Harris.
Combination.
Jordan with Joe Harris. He's going to be wide open.
How many looks can I get? It's amazing.
Joe Harris might wind up shooting 60% from three. Is there going to be no one guarding him? What are you going to do?
It's scary because all they need to do defensively is be adequate. You know, and they've actually been a little bit better. It's still a problem, and Nash has talked about it. Maybe they can get somebody on the buyout, but they just need to be adequate defensively. And because of what you said, maybe the best offense in sports ever, they're going to be able to outscore people. I mean, they're going to put up 130 points a game, 125 points a game, even in the playoffs. And so for me, as a basketball fan, I'm excited. And I think, you know, they have figured out Kyrie and Harden. They have figured out who's going to take the last shot. Kyrie saying you can have the ball in your hands. And when Kevin comes back, it'll be seamless because they're all such good basketball players, so smart. I mean, listen, the last thing I'll say, they have the best net rating in the NBA against top 10 teams.
Right,
so
they also play
when you think
up.
About that, they play elite against the elite, and that's what you want from a contender.
You can follow them at Schultz. What's your handle? They just had it on the screen. At Schultz underscore.
That's fine. Schultz underscore report on Twitter. Jordan Schultz on
report.
Instagram. You don't
Schultz
use
underscore
so much,
report. Jordan Schultz, ESPN NBA insider analyst, contributor on Daily Wager, correspondent of the Boardroom on ESPN Plus, and friend to the Max Kellerman Show. Jordan, always loves chopping it up with you. Thanks for coming on, brother.
Be good.
All right. That was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Or was that not that? Was that something else? Because I have up on my screen, Brendan's here without Raj today. I don't know if that means it's going to get better or worse. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance, with insurance for cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.com. And let me just say, New York, the Knicks are a game below 500. The Nets might be the best offense ever. You still care more about the Knicks than the Nets? 888-SAY-ESPN. Coming up, Russell Wilson doesn't want out, but has four teams on his list. We'll get to the bottom of it. Sports is using technology to take fan experience to the next level, like having digital fans in the stands. When it comes to hiring, there's one solution that's been advancing its technology for years: ZipRecruiter. And now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Max. ZipRecruiter's technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Max. That's ZipRecruiter.com/MAX. What's up with Russell Wilson? The Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Hear that Zlatan Ibrahimovic was saying LeBron shouldn't get involved in politics. That's a mistake. Did he mean running for office? Because Abramovich, if you look him up on Wikipedia, which I quickly just did, let me look at any controversies he's had, right? Lists Muhammad Ali as one of his idols and inspirations. Well, Ali didn't not get involved. He didn't sit on the sidelines. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Want to get to your calls coming up, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And I want to get back to the Knicks in about 10 minutes because I heard Michael Kay had some advice for Knicks fans. When you hear that, the Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. What's the latest on Russell Wilson? All of a sudden, Russell Wilson, first he's throwing his offensive line under the bus, not that they didn't deserve it. Although I think they've been playing better in the last couple years than they were a couple years before. That's really when, like, remember, they made that disastrous trade, Max Unger, who was a good offensive lineman, for Jimmy Graham, because Graham was like a hybrid wide-out tight end, like a tight end in name, but really more of a wide-out. They thought it would help the passing game, but what happened, and their basic philosophy back then was Seattle thought, we don't need to spend a lot of draft capital or treasure on the offensive line. We'll get some guys, we'll coach them up, and we'll develop them. It didn't happen. And Russell Wilson's taken a lot of hits. He holds the ball a little too much, you know, let Russ cook. He's running around, keeping his eyes down the field and trying to make something happen, waiting for guys to get open. But the offensive line had something to do with that. But recently, last couple of years, the Seahawks have invested more in the offensive line. And it's really been the defense, in fact, that let Seattle down recently. But it's what's bizarre to me is that Russell Wilson said he doesn't want to be traded, reportedly, but if he were traded, he'd like to go to either Dallas, that offensive line's not the same anymore, and they don't have a defense. The Raiders, a solid team, but nothing to write home about, but they're solid, NFL average, I would say, more or less. The Saints, that's a hell of a team. Russell Wilson would be great on the Saints, but he's great on the Seahawks. He's won a Super Bowl. He's gotten to another Super Bowl. They're in the playoffs every year. Not their fault that Jamal Adams was hurt all year, basically. They tried to go in on some defensive players there. And who was the fourth team? I don't remember offhand, but the fourth team also was like, wait, that's not, oh, the Bears. The Bears have a defense, but they don't have an offensive line. They're just bizarre choices to me. I don't see what those teams really have in common. Cliff Averill, Super Bowl champion and former Seattle Seahawks defensive end on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on ESPN Radio. Listen.
I thought it was great. I thought it was really good. But, you know, you start to hear about some of the different things that are going on, whether it's, you know, him wanting to be more involved in personnel and different things like that. I thought all those things were actually already going on. So to hear that they're not is interesting because, as we all know, you know, all the quarterbacks, whether it's Tom Brady, whether it's Dak Prescott, whoever it may be, a lot of those guys do have a say or are actually a part of those conversations. So to hear him not being a part of it is a little interesting.
Yeah, Stephen A. brought up on First Take today that Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, Dak Prescott, African-American quarterbacks who in one way or another aren't being respected. I would actually add Tom Brady. Like, I understand the point, but Tom Brady also. Tom Brady didn't feel respected in New England. In case you didn't know, not an African-American quarterback, last I checked. And but like feels much more respected in Tampa. I think really, and I'm sure there's racial overlap here in terms of the respect of labor, right, and control of labor by ownership. But it seems to me really what's happening is because offense sells, the NFL has made a lot of changes to make the offense more important. And the way you get better returns on offense is Michael Lewis wrote in The Blind Side, right, which they made the movie about the left tackle, Michael Orr. But the point was that when you want to invest in offense, you want more offense. The running backs can only run so fast. The return on investment's basically constant. But if you can increase returns in the passing game, that's where you get your value. And so that's what the league has done. And that's what offense is, not only offensive innovation in terms of guys who are designing plays and drawing up plays and everything, and where the money and the resources go, right, to wide outs, and so there's greater incentive for the best athletes to play that position, but also in terms of rules changes. They don't let the defense do this. The quarterback's protected like that. And what it's resulted in is a handful of really important players involved in the passing game, meaning five or six or seven quarterbacks, the real elite guys, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson. I wouldn't include Prescott in that group, but I would include who am I missing? Oh, obviously Patrick Mahomes, right? Like you have five or six or seven guys. And then a couple of defensive players who really have an impact on the offense, like Aaron Donald, or if you had a crazy shutdown corner like Deion in the league right now, someone like that, right? If you had some guy who just stood out from the pack. Those guys are going to have enormous leverage, like NBA players. Not everyone else, but those guys will, because they are necessary to the success of franchises. Coming up, the Knicks won their must win. I told you it was a must win. I really still believe that. Look, they're a game under 500 now instead of three under 500. Can't lose to Sacramento at home to go three under 500 if you want to be taken seriously. But they didn't. They won in a blowout. They scored 140 points, quickly gave you 25. But how good are the Knicks really? Michael Kay says, just hold on. He explains next, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Thanks to 98.7 ESPN New York with those calls from the Knicks blowout last night. That was a must-win game. I don't care what you say. You're playing a bad team. You're at home. You're two games under 500. Don't tell me about a healthy culture and moving in the right direction if you can't win a game like that. But they won. That was actually an important game, one of those sneaky important games in a team's development. The Knicks won. Nikola's back and playing defense and quickly is giving you 25 and things are looking good. Thibodeau has him playing with effort. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Hey, L.A., can the Lakers get back on track versus Portland? Like, how many games are going to lose over here? 888-SAY-ESPN. Boy, you ever think Dennis Schroeder would be this important to the team? 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. So, Knicks beat the Kings. I mean, they have a better record right now at this moment. As I'm saying this, the Knicks have a better record than the Celtics or Heat. Knicks, Celtics, Heat. Who has the best record? You'd have lost some money making that bet to start the season, right? This many games in, who has the best record? Knicks, Celtics, or Heat? Knicks. And if they can beat the Pacers tomorrow at the Garden, they're a 500 team. Now, I know in New York it's cause for celebration when the Knicks can get to be a 500 team and the Nets have the best offense of all time. And it's like, oh, who cares about the Nets? But nationally, the Nets are the story, not the Knicks. And listen to Michael Kay from the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Listen to Michael Kay's warning to Knicks fans.
I'm not knocking them. I'm not criticizing them. They're not good enough yet. That's what everybody has to realize. Don't fall in love and think that this team, once it matures for 2 or 3 years, is going to be Chateaubriand. It's not. It's not good enough. And it might be a killer hamburger and you know, make the playoffs every year. It's not going to win a championship.
He's absolutely right about that. If you're waiting for all these guys to become stars and win a championship, that will never happen. However, if the rest of the league sees a healthy culture and a team that wins more than it loses, then the lure of New York City, Madison Square Garden, and the Knicks can be something. The fact is, when the Knicks kept clearing the decks for free agents, Jim Dolan was very much front and center and getting in the way. And that may still be a deal breaker in the end for free agents. They're like, I don't want to play for this dude. I wouldn't blame them. I'm not a Knicks fan right now because of Jim Dolan. I won't be a Knicks fan until he sells the team. And if he never sells the team, I'll never be a Knicks fan again. But give credit where it's due. This new regime he's put in place and basically has gotten out of the way of, you know, has the Knicks, you just know it. You know from the reporting around the team. You understand from the coverage. You can see what's going on, the way they play. The culture is getting healthy. That's why the Nets got KD and Kyrie and Harden. They had the same New York that the Knicks had, but they didn't have Dolan, you know, poisoning it for people. He's toxic for players. And because a fish rots from the head down, and the Knicks have had a rotten culture as a result of the head, Dolan down. But if he can get out of his own way and let his basketball, put the right basketball people in place, which he seems to have done now, and get out of his own way, then, like, look, the Brooklyn Nets in the Knicks, same town. But KD and Kyrie said, I can play for Brooklyn. Meaning, it's not about Brooklyn or Manhattan. It's about New York. They wanted to play in the New York market. But the Knicks have never been a viable alternative for players to other, you know, places because of Jim Dolan. They just don't want it. As soon as you just got a healthy culture, it's not the greatest culture of all time. Oh, my God, the best team, the best supporting cast. No, just a healthy culture, a team that tries hard with some nice pieces and a good and a place you see like it seems like you want to play. Once you have that, you got New York City. Now you can sell New York City. Donnie Walsh couldn't sell New York to LeBron James because it wasn't a healthy place. You could Jim Dolan couldn't sell New York to KD or Kyrie. The Garden wasn't a healthy place. But if you can make that culture healthy, as the Nets did, then New York sells itself. Coming up, I'm going to get some calls in this upcoming hour. I haven't taken any calls yet today. I'm in love with the sound of my own voice, apparently. Can the Lakers get back on track? Boy, they better do that soon. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. The Lakers are really in it, like LeBron especially, and they not only have to start winning, but they got to cut back on LeBron's minutes. There's no Schroeder right now. No AD, but Schroeder's the key. He's the only other player who can create for himself and others on that team. So it's all falling on LeBron, who's playing 40 minutes a game now? Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.